Hi, friends. I am so excited to bring back this chat with Flora Bolli that we had back in October of 2021 for several reasons. One is that I just got back from attending her retreat again at Omega Institute, this time as a helper. And I was feeling so enlivened, and it was such a good reminder about the magic of retreats that I wanted you to hear our conversation so that no matter what you're doing in the world, it's really truly such a necessary priority to make time for yourself and your creativity, whether you retreat for an hour outside of the house just to get away from it all, or you take an overnight somewhere, or you even take a few days away, it is well worth it. So that's one of the reasons why I'm bringing back this chat. And the other is because every time I attend a retreat as a participant, I am reinvigorated to create that same sort of magical experience for the writers who attend my retreats. So it's like I go to retreats to fill my well so that when I'm leading my own retreats, I can do so from a really inspired and enlivened place. That is certainly the case right now. I feel really, really excited because even though you might not be thinking about August of 2026, I am, because I'm leading a retreat next August at the Madeleyn Island School of the Arts on Madeleyn Island in Wisconsin. It's from August 24th through 28th. That is all about revision. It's called Craft Your Best Draft. So if you've been sitting on a draft of a short story or an essay or a book excerpt and you're wondering how to take it to the next level, this is your retreat. It's designed to help you take your rough draft and transform it into a polished, publication-ready piece. I'm going to teach my proven three-step revision process that has helped thousands of writers elevate their work. You will have a supportive workshop, expert feedback, ample writing time, and you will leave with a stronger, more compelling version of your story and a clear plan for submission. So if you've got a draft, no matter how messy, this retreat is for you. If you want to find out more, you can head on over to my website, NadineKennyJohnstone.com, and check out the Retreats tab. Without further ado, here is my chat with Flora Bolli.
I think creativity is going to like save the world because we need to learn how to adapt. And so here's a vehicle to get more strong in those ways.
This is Heart of the Story, and I'm Nadine Kenny Johnstone. I'm a writer and a writing coach who helps women develop and publish their memoirs and essays. But most importantly, I'm a human who's always trying to figure out what my soul is saying. Each week, I'll share stories and tips of healing, hope, and following my heart so that you'll feel inspired to follow yours. Hi, friends. I'm so excited that you're joining me today because we have an incredible conversation that I want you to hear. Let me give you a little bit of background. As a writing coach and workshop leader and retreat facilitator, one of the biggest questions that I get asked is, how do you fill your own well? And the answer is that I attend retreats, so I usually make the goal to try to attend one retreat each year, and this October, I had the great joy of attending a retreat at Omega Institute led by the painter, permission granter, creative catalyst, Flora Bolli. It was life-changing. I enjoyed it so much. The retreat title was The Art of Aliveness, and the subtitle was A Creative Return to What Matters Most. And I was like, yes, sign me up. So it was a mixture of doing processes that make us feel more creative and alive. We painted, we danced, we did scavenger hunts out in nature, and it was a way of feeling fully embodied and fully vibrant. And it delivered. Flora was such an incredible retreat leader, and I felt so inspired by her that I really wanted to talk to her. So I was overjoyed when she said yes, that she would come on the podcast and have a little chat with us. So today you're going to hear that wonderful conversation, and I hope that it will make you feel more alive. You should also check out Flora's amazing book by the same title as her retreat. It's called The Art of Aliveness. And we talk about it on today's episode. So let's dive in.
When I came back home, my husband and my son both mentioned on separate occasions how there was something different going on with me, how I seemed more alive. And they didn't even know that the workshop was centered around aliveness. So, so you did what you intended to do, Flora. So without further ado, I will introduce to you the artist. She also calls herself a permission granter, a creative catalyst, a wonderful author and retreat leader and workshop leader. Flora, hello and welcome.
Well, thank you for having me. That was such a nice introduction. I'm always so happy to hear that the family members notice a difference after a retreat. Like that is that's the gold star approval. So great feedback.
Yes. I came back and I have been dancing a ton ever since then. And they're like,
who's this lady?
Pretty much. Yes. So today I want to talk with you about a lot of things, but most importantly, your artistic journey. And I will hold up this beautiful book, The Art of Aliveness. So I'll ask you some things about that. So why don't you just tell a little bit more about you, if you could kind of condense your artistic journey in a little bit of a nutshell, what would you tell
her? Sure. I'll try. Well, I'm definitely one of the people that has always, you know, been drawn to creativity and art. It was like my happy place as a kid. And thankfully I had parents that encouraged that. I went to college to study painting. And I will say though, I never really thought I could make a living as a painter. Even, you know, at that point when I was signing up for college, I was thinking I'd be a graphic designer or something artsy, but not like a studio artist. So it wasn't until I had my first little coffee shop painting show when I was like in my early 20s, where I sold a couple paintings, and I just had this light bulb go off, and I thought, well, maybe I could actually make money doing this. And it's really what I love. And I'd been getting positive feedback about it. And so then I kind of just decided that that was my goal. And for many years, I lived kind of a starving artist life for a good chapter. I did a lot of like squatting in art studios illegally and, you know, living very simply so that I could focus on my art and waiting tables at night and things like that. And then it was, you know, it was a slow road to get to the point of actually making a living as a studio artist. But then an interesting thing happened, because when I finally kind of got there, I realized I'm kind of lonely. I'm kind of, like, there's something missing here. I'm in my studio by myself all day long. I love this work I'm doing, but I missed people is really what it came down to, I realized after some soul searching. And so long story short is that I decided to start sharing my process with others and just went on a wild journey for about 10 years of traveling around the world and teaching painting retreats and writing some books. And I would say most recently, a big shift that's happened is that I've, over the course of teaching the Brave Intuitive Painting process that I do, which is like big canvases, for many years, I started to really get interested in how what we were doing on the canvases was informing how we can live our life. Like there was all these metaphors and parallels, and I just started getting kind of really geeky on that stuff and thinking, wow, this is now more interesting to me than actually the painting process, even though I still love the painting process. And so a couple years, well, I guess it was right before the pandemic, I started teaching at an event called the Gathering of the Creatives in Santa Fe. And it was put on by a publishing company, and they do self-help books more than art books. And they approached and said, we'd really love you to write a book about how creativity informs living, like this exact thing that I was really feeling really interested and kind of fired up around. And so I ended up writing The Art of Aliveness, which is my new book. And that feels like an evolution in a lot of ways, where we're still, painting is still at the center in many ways, and it's a place that we can learn these lessons, but realizing you actually don't have to paint necessarily. There's so many other ways to access. Well, I should say you don't have to paint a big canvas, like a big fancy painting that hangs on your wall, because that is its own thing and it's wonderful. And like what we did when we were at Omega Institute is that we used a lot of painting prompts and things, but it was like on paper, and then we cut the paper up, and then we did a lot of writing and movement and all these other things that support this idea of aliveness and what makes us feel alive. And so I'm currently very inspired by that word and thinking about, you know, how to access it, especially, you know, at this stage of the pandemic, and so many of us have not been feeling connected to freedom and aliveness and sort of the things that can light us up. So that kind of brings us up to date as to my journey and what I'm feeling most interested in right now.
Yeah, I really, really love that I entered your workshop as a non-painter, and I felt like I left as someone who felt my permission was granted to be creative, even if I don't call myself a painter. But most importantly, I left fully feeling alive. And that's because the techniques and the processes that you showed us in the retreat, I think all of them really pertain to a life metaphor for sure. So it's like, what's working? What can you let go of?
Exactly.
Like, what can it, like, cover up 80% here and let's just focus on a little part. Each one could be obviously applied to your own life. And so as we painted and created, we were simultaneously thinking about what we could release in our own lives, what we could focus on, what was working in our own lives. And I really appreciated that process. And so for listeners, the thing that we ended up creating, first of all, Flora decided not to tell us at the beginning what we were creating. And I'm very glad for it. It's like life. It was like, we're just doing little bits and we don't know where it's leading to. And it was a big thing about releasing control. And so eventually over the course of days, we would add layers and kind of collage and paint and then cover up. And eventually we cut up a big thing into 12 small cards to be part of like an oracle deck for ourselves of affirmative things, of positive affirmations, of sayings, of quotes. And I just loved it. I loved it. And I feel like the book, each chapter tells us a bit about your life and then practices that we can apply to our own lives. So the writer and book nerd in me is going to geek out over this with you. A lot of our listeners are women writers. That's my community, but creatives all over the world listen. And so I want to know, first and foremost, after the publishing company said, okay, we'd love for you to write this book, how did you come up with the structure? Tell me what your writing process was like.
That's a great question. Well, you know, I'd been teaching this painting retreat for about a decade, and I'd been distilling these teachings, I guess you could call them, or philosophies, you know, talking about contrast, talking about working with what's working, obviously a lot about letting go, embracing the harder moments right there with the joy and all of that. And so my publisher really helped me distill down the chapters. I had never written a book like this. My other books are art books. And so they have pictures and they talk about do this lesson. And so to write this totally different kind of book was a big learning curve for me. I didn't really know. I've read plenty of self-help books, but I learned a lot about structuring it. And so, you know, really was encouraged to bring my personal stories in and to kind of lead with, you know, some kind of like story or something that kind of gets folks interested in each chapter. And then I was really just trying to find this balance where it didn't feel preachy or anything like that. But I really wanted to just share like, hey, this has been my experience in life. This is my experience with all my years at the canvas. And this is what I've gleaned from it all. And maybe if I give you some prompts and things that it can actually be helpful for you without ever having to touch a paintbrush necessarily. You know, it's like anytime any of us do something as much as I've painted, there is a wealth of knowledge collected. If listeners can think of like, what have you just been doing for a really long time? You become like so steeped in that. And then I think what's so cool about books is that we can just like glean these gems and present them in a way where the reader doesn't necessarily have to paint for 25 years to to kind of get these lessons that have taken me that long to figure out. So that was my intention and hope behind the book. But yeah, it was a journey of the soul, I have to say. It was, you know, it was the most personal thing I've ever written. I've never really gone into my own life publicly like that before. And so, yeah, it was scary and exhilarating.
Yeah. And you do, you get personal in a way that feels very connecting to the reader. So you talk about your art journey, you talk about going to New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina, you talk about love, you talk about loss. And so I coach memoir writers, women who are memoir writers, and they will certainly appreciate that you are willing to go there. The biggest question they always have is like, how do I put my truth out in the world and go deep in this way and not be terrified or feel like I'm running out naked into the world? So how was it for you going from your art books to this when it came time for publication?
It was just a lot more vulnerable. You know, I mean, my art books have a little bit of, you know, the same essence of what was in Art of Aliveness. Like I always kind of talk about personal transformation and things, but yeah, just the personal stories, that was the big difference. It's almost like I can't think about it. I can't think about people reading it. You know, I keep focusing on, I did my best, you know, as a painter trying to be a writer, first of all. That's real. You know, it's like, I don't even identify really as a writer. So yeah. I'm like, okay, I'm a painter. I tried to write a book. I did my very best. I poured my heart into this thing. And now it's out there and I can't think about that. And I, you know, I never read the reviews. I, you know, all I hope is that it was helpful to some people. And then I'm just carrying on. You know, I'm like, as a creative person, and that's really who I am, is like, I'm a creative. And so I'm always about the next thing. I'm always thinking about the next thing. So I'm really, I'm proud of myself, honestly. Like, I'm proud that I did that. It was hard. It was a hard project for me. And it was during the pandemic. And it was just like, whoo, you know, deep dive. But I'm glad I did it. And, you know, onward to the next thing. And honestly, like, what I am most lit up about is being in the room with people like we were at Omega. That's really where my work feels the most alive for me. And so I like that the book can, you know, I heard someone say one time that books are like fancy business cards, you know, that they go out there and get people to know who you are. And so I hope that a lot of people will read it and then feel inspired to come gather, whether it's online or even better in person. So my new, you know, I'm moving away from teaching like the big canvas painting thing that I've been teaching for so long and into this Art of Aliveness curriculum, which you were a guinea pig for. So thank you very much. That was like the first time I taught that. And I left just feeling like this is it. This is the next chapter, you know, and I mentioned to you all, I recently bought a 20-acre like retreat center outside of Portland. And so I'm just in the process right now of landing there and like visioning how we're going to gather there come summer and aliveness activities that will get to happen there. And it just feels like everything I've done has led up to this moment. So that feels really, sure. That's a good feeling.
Yeah. I want to talk a lot about a few of the things you mentioned. So first and foremost, David Sedaris, the writer, he said, I like to imagine people holding my book, not reading my book, just holding and I was like, I like that. My memoir that came out in 2017, I talk about infertility in that book. And when it was coming out, my husband was like, oh God, you went there and you talked about like our lives in that book. And like, now it's a click away on Amazon. And I had to kind of, think about what you just said. Like I had to just think of it as like a product of art where it's like, I wrote the thing and I went real deep and personal about love and other things. And I put it out into the world and then I have to go on to the next thing. So I don't think too much. Also, like I even think now I wrote that almost 10 years ago and I would write my story differently now. So like books are almost kind of like a time stamp. And yes. So I do think of them when I coach women as like works of art that we put out into the world. And yours was a beautiful one because I felt like I could come away from the book and have a tool of processes that I could do myself on my own. So it both shared your story, but also I felt like it was very applicable to the reader. So it just felt really, really like I came away with so many different exercises, journaling things I could do on my own or things I could do in my life. So I hope that people.
Thank you. It means a lot coming from someone like yourself. So I really appreciate that.
It was well written. It was applicable. It was relatable and honest and wonderful. And so you just talked about something that you revealed to us at the retreat, which is that you purchased with some other people a retreat center. Yeah. So if you're willing to say a little bit about that space and how you found it.
Oh my gosh. Well, it's a lifelong dream. It's something I've wanted to do, for many, many years, like to have a place out of the city in nature where people can come and people can heal and gather and remember and create and all the things, and a place that I get to live and be. And so it's kind of a crazy story because, it was one of those things that eventually my friend and I just said, well, let's just talk to a real estate agent. Let's just see, let's get the ball rolling in that direction. We had the conversation. We stated everything that we were wanting very specifically. We're like, we want an orchard. We want all these things. And 3 hours later, she wrote us a text and had a link to this property. And she said, here's your property. This is everything you just said, everything. And it just came on the market. And I never see things like this. This is like very a rare property. And so we were just like, wow, so fast. And then, a lot of things had to happen between that moment and when we actually got our hands on it, because we weren't really expecting to find it that fast. So there was a lot of miracles that had to, take place. But we have been there since November 1st. And I'm currently just kind of going between my house in Portland and there. And it's just beautiful. It's like a healing sanctuary. There's a couple houses. There's an event barn. We're about to build a beautiful bathhouse. We have like some tiny houses and there will be glamping that happens there. What I'm loving right now is bringing my friends and my community there to meet this land and watching them experience it for the first time. And the resounding experience is that people just exhale and they just say how good it feels there. And like, there's just this nervous system kind of settling that seems to happen. And that was my experience too. So I feel like the world is crazy. Mm-hmm. It's probably getting crazier. All things are pointing towards like, things are just going to keep ramping up in so many different ways. And I think one of the most important things right now for humans and for aliveness is to have sanctuary spaces and the community aspect of that too, where we can go to places and connect like Omega, where you're in this beautiful place, you just get a moment to be human and to reflect and to write and to maybe make art or whatever it is. And so I feel really called to be a provider of that kind of place. And now I have the place. I used to do retreats in my backyard art studio in Portland, which has been awesome too, but nothing like being out on land. It's just, I've been thinking to myself, like, half my work is done here, you know, just because when people come to this space, they're going to sink into that. And just being there is like half of it, if not more. So very excited. Yeah.
Yes. I'm so excited for you. And that story, just, it felt so perfectly timed that that property came up when it did. And it sounds like it really met all of the things you all wanted to have.
Yeah. It really did. I feel like it wants us there. It's an interesting feeling of like when you listen to the land, I feel like it knows that we're good stewards and that we really want to create, you know, we want to tend to the land. We want to grow things. We want to be good caretakers, and that this place wants people to come and heal and do good work on. So it just feels very symbiotic. And I feel like that's why it came to us so fast. And, actually, the woman that sold it is a very kindred spirit who I've become friends with. And she's like, I feel like I manifested you all. And we're like, we feel like we manifested you. And, it, you know, it's just one of those moments in life where you're like, this is absolutely 100% what is supposed to be taking place. The way it happened, how it feels, the people. So I always just try to pay attention to that because there's plenty of times in life where the opposite feels true, where it just feels hard. And like nothing's kind of lining up. And I really feel like it's important to notice both of those very different energies.
Yeah. With the retreat thing, I think that it's so obvious when you lead retreats, how important they are to you and how you love witnessing people come together and do their work and learn more about themselves. And I too, as a retreat facilitator, it's like my happy place. And I think the reason why I realize that retreats are so life-giving is that some of the biggest moments or breakthrough moments in my own life have happened when I've been a student at retreats. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, if you can create that for other people, what better work is there out in the world?
It's very fulfilling for sure. And I think it's just so important to have these out of the ordinary experiences. Like, I think that that's one of the key pieces of aliveness is stepping out of our habitual patterns, which honestly, with quarantine and the pandemic and everything, a lot of us have gotten deep in that groove, you know, where like, we're only home or like we see these two other people and that's it. And if we're able, and it's a privilege to do so, but when we're able to mix it up and to shake up the environment in some way, there's so much that can happen. And there's so much we can see that we can't actually see when we're just in it.
And speaking of routine and ritual, can you talk to us a little bit about like, what are some of your rituals, routines, morning rituals, and when given the chance to have your own sort of retreat, what are the fun things you do to kind of break away from routine?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm a big walker. I walk every morning. I have a dog. So we go on about an hour long walk, and I really try to, it's like sacred time. You know, I love just looking at light, looking at shapes, colors. Sometimes I listen to music and sometimes not. And yeah, it's like I have a warm beverage. I drink matcha every morning. So I have like my matcha and we just like head off, and it doesn't matter what the weather is. And that's really my routine. I try to kind of go in and out of a meditation practice. Sometimes I'm like really on that, and sometimes that goes away for a while, but it's always good to come back to for sure. Yeah. And for me, I love to travel. I love to go explore new places. So my idea of a good time and mixing it up is to go on a trip somewhere. But I also love the idea of like going on like what Julia Cameron would call artist dates, you know, this idea of taking yourself, even if it's in your own hometown, out on an adventure. And so I do try to do that too. And I did more of that in the last couple of years because I wasn't really traveling. So it was like, how can I bring that energy of I'm an explorer and like, I don't know what's going to happen. I really love that energy. So trying to do that in my own town can be a good thing to do as well.
Yeah. And for someone who, say, right now can't do a retreat, what do you think are some things that people can do? You share some of these in The Art of Aliveness to just feel more alive right now.
Well, I think my big thing is creative practices and movement. That's like sort of the center of my work. And I think it's very easy for people to think, oh, I'm not a painter, I'm not a this, and then just never do any of it. Like, yeah. And so what I'm always trying to remind folks of is that there's many baby steps and access points into reconnecting to your creativity / your aliveness. And so not having to make this big story of what it needs to look like I need a studio and I need a canvas and whatever it is, or even if it's music, it's like, I have to be good at this instrument. Well, no, you don't. You know, you actually can just, like, I have a ukulele. I just play around on this thing. I don't know what I'm doing, but it's fun. And I have some like drums that I play on. But with, you know, with painting, with drawing, with, you know, iPhone photography, whatever it is, it's like just finding something, even if it's just a, like an eyes closed was one of my favorite things, is just close your eyes, put on some music or not, and then just do a drawing that way where you're just like feeling the lines and the movement of it. And then maybe you open your eyes and you turn it into something, or maybe not. That's such a quick, easy way to connect with yourself in a way that maybe you're not used to. You know, we did a lot of like blind contour drawing where you're not looking at the paper, you're looking at what you're drawing and letting it just be like one continuous line. That's super fun. And the drawings actually end up usually looking pretty interesting, maybe more interesting than if you were trying and looking at the paper a lot. So dancing, I think, is a really easy access point. I'm always amazed when I hear from people in my retreats, like, gosh, I just haven't danced in years, people will say. And that just pains my heart, you know, because it's like, wow, but that's something that you get to do anytime. You know, you can turn on your favorite song, crank it up. No one needs to see you. And like to just connect to our bodies in that way is life-giving. And I think people, for whatever reasons, the stories we have and the habits we're in, forget that that's something that's just right there. It's free. You know, it's a free thing you get to do. So those are just a few that come to mind.
And those are the ones that stick out a lot to me. Over here, the house is empty for like 1 hour every morning, and it is my precious hour. So when my husband takes our son to school, like, I'm like, all right, it's go time. And I meditate, I journal, and then I turn on music and I dance to it. And then I see like the garage door opening. And I'm like, all right.
I love it.
But then during the pandemic, my son and I, we danced so much in the kitchen a lot. And so, you know, as of late, now that it's been more winter months and he's home a little bit more, we've been dancing again. And it's just like, was my favorite thing, thing, dancing with him. And you forget how accessible it is. And because of your retreat, it totally reminded me of that. And I've incorporated that a lot back into my life. And the other thing that you talked about, that closed eye drawing, it, first of all, it's just so funny because you feel so awkward and you're like, what am I doing? I don't even know what I'm drawing right now. And you go off the page sometimes or whatever. But again and again, you taught us about just like letting go of control.
Yeah.
That was a huge thing that I felt as a result of the retreat. Like, you don't need to know, you don't have to have a plan.
Yes.
Which is so hard for most of us. It makes you start thinking about in life how we don't have to have what I call like the white knuckle grip, right? Yeah. It's like, you don't need that all of the time.
Yeah.
So that makes me wonder, like, when have there been times when you just trusted your heart and your intuition, where maybe you didn't have this grand plan, but you just followed a little tug?
Well, I would say when I started teaching was a big one of those moments, because I was sitting with this feeling of like, something's missing here in my work life. And then my friend asked, what about teaching painting? And it just sort of happened in this, I don't need to go into it, but it was kind of a magical way that it happened. And I just thought, I think I'm supposed to go that way. Like, I don't even know how to teach painting because it's so nonlinear and intuitive, and it's just like something I do. But I just felt like, no, there's something there for me. And then, yeah, just stepping into that arena and realizing, oh yeah, this is what you're supposed to be doing. But there's been a lot. I mean, my whole life, I would say, is led from that space. I've just learned, and really through my own painting practice for so many years, that, you know, when you talk about letting go of plans, it's like I learned firsthand that when I went into a painting with an agenda and a preconceived idea of what this painting needed to be, first of all, I didn't enjoy the process because I felt like I was trying to execute something. Yeah. You know, which also means to kill something, which is kind of how that ended up feeling. It was never what I kind of wanted it to be in my head. You know, I could never quite hit the mark. And so that's how I developed my painting process, is that I thought, you know what, I'm going to let all that go. Like, what happens when I let any agenda go and I just start to move colors around, and then I turn the canvas upside down, and then I use my non-dominant hand, and now I do this really weird maneuver of adding all this black paint or whatever, because it felt like something in me wanted to do it. Like, what happens when I let my intuition and the present moment actually dictate what's happening versus this idea that I think I'm trying to achieve? And I just realized over many years of painting this way that those were my most interesting, quote unquote, best paintings, were the ones that shape-shifted. They went through all these different paintings before they kind of emerged as what they were, but they were so much more interesting because of the journey they went on. And they were so much more authentic because they were really coming from an authentic response to the present moment. And so to me, it was just like, well, this is how life works too. Yeah. I mean, there's a time for planning, sure. Like, I'm not saying never plan anything, but the more open we can be to what is real, like what is truly real and making us light up in the moment, what is working is one of my things I talk about. We're able to navigate from a completely different place. It's not coming from our logic and our thinking mind. It's coming from our bodies. It's coming from just this ability to be present. And so much of it comes down to our willingness to let go and to change. And I think if this pandemic has taught us anything, it's that this is a human skill that we all need to be strengthening right now, because things are always changing, like week to week, you know? And in order to stay in our center and in order to really not get swirled into, you know, like a sea of negativity and hopelessness, it's like we need to hone our, I think of it as like athletic stance, you know, where like our knees are bent, we're like our hands are up, we're like ready to move in any direction. And I just love that creative practices are a way to practice, you know, they're a very forgiving way to practice getting more comfortable with change. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I think creativity is going to, like, you know, save the world, is because we need to learn how to adapt. And so here's a vehicle to get more strong in those ways.
Yeah. How do you think over the past 18 months, how do you think you've changed and adapted?
Oh my gosh. I mean, I think for me, I've realized how much running around I was doing and how busy doing things that weren't really necessarily feeding and nourishing my soul, even like social things. You know, it's like my world has shrunk down, and I don't even want to say shrunk down because it doesn't feel like it's, it feels like it's become distilled in this way where I'm much more mindful about my time and energy, to be honest, and like who that's shared with and what things I'm doing. Like, I've refined a lot in my life. That's been a real silver lining, actually, to this whole thing. Yeah. And I needed a break from, honestly, from running around and doing in-person workshops all over the place. Like, as much as I love that, I'm sure you probably can relate, like, as a person who holds space for people, I've needed to give myself a little bit of a break from that. And I feel like I did that. And then when I showed up at Omega, that was the first time back in the room, I just felt like I had so much more to give.
And it was helpable. I feel that. I feel like when we give ourselves the energy we need, the people in our workshops and retreats can feel it. And I certainly felt it at yours, where it was like, it felt so generous, but not in a way that it was like you were depleting before our very eyes. Like, I've been in workshops where I can see that a facilitator is just almost giving so much at the detriment of themselves, or they've been giving so much that they're exhausted. Like, you were giving in a way that was generous to us, but also keeping and maintaining the energy that you needed.
Thank you for saying that. At the end of that retreat, I felt so energized. I felt the opposite of depleted. I thought, wow, I feel like I just got to take a retreat. And that's actually a pretty different experience than how it's been in the past. Like, I have been a person that depletes myself through facilitation. And so there was something there for me too. Like, just the topic of aliveness being at the center, I just felt like, wow, I feel energized by this. So that's something to follow, right? That's something to notice and go, okay, I'm going that direction. Yeah. This is feeding me too.
Exactly. And with the upcoming times, what are you most looking forward to? What are some things you're doing in your painting, but also in your facilitating you can tell us about?
Thank you. Yeah. The land is really the big exciting thing. I'm setting up this very cute little painting studio there, like in a little outbuilding that reminds me of all my studios of many years ago, you know, that were just really simple. So I'm kind of loving that I'm going back to my roots for my own practice. I'll be having retreats there starting in the summer, which is very exciting. I did do something in 2018. I was sort of feeling myself waning on wanting to teach the big canvas process. And so I thought, you know what, let's do a professional video recording of this experience. And so I brought together this wonderful dynamic group of people, and we had like a 5-day workshop, and we got it all on film. And I've since created an online course for that, which I'm so glad I did, because people still really want to learn that big painting process from me. And they can through this online experience. And so that's something that I run once a year. It's called Reunite. And basically, people get to watch like all of the pre-recorded videos. And it really kind of feels like you're in the room with us. It's how they filmed it. It's pretty cool. And then we do community Zoom calls every day where, you know, I answer questions and we look at each other's art. And it's been really fun the last couple of years that we've done it. I don't know. I think we all realized in the last couple of years how you really can feel connected online and through the, you know, if it's facilitated right and it has the right energy, like, you really can get that feeling of being in a community. So this is that for sure. So if anyone's interested in that, it's happening. Well, we start in the new year with like a month of wellness practices. And then in February, we do the painting whole 5-day thing. But then you can do it at your own pace too, because you have access for the whole year. So,
yes. Yeah. And a few of the women whom I met at Omega had done Reunite and they loved it.
Yeah. So. Yay.
Oh, excellent. And where can people find you if they want to see what's going on in your world?
Yes, my website is floraboli.com. And then Instagram is where I kind of post the most and, you know, stay more present than any of the other socials. So, also just Floraboli on Instagram.
Wonderful. You are a delight. You exude what you teach. And I feel honored that you came on today. So thank you.
Thank you for the conversation. It was really, really enjoyable.
So isn't Flora amazing, right? She is authentic and generous and kind. And I hope you get the experience of taking a workshop or retreat with her. You will not be disappointed. And she was generous enough to offer our listeners a discount. So in our chat, she mentioned Reunite, which is her virtual painting retreat and workshop. And she is offering 20% off of that virtual painting retreat. You can use the code HEARTSTORY, one word, when you check out, and you will get that 20% off. Awesome, right? So make sure to do that by February 1st. That's when it expires. Thank you for listening week after week. I love coming to this space with you and chatting and storytelling and doing meditations. It's such a joy, and I love hearing from you. So you can let me know, what was your favorite part of this conversation? What were your favorite takeaways? I would love to hear from you. Let us know. So you can find me on Instagram at Nadine Kenny Johnstone, and you can find Flora at Flora Bowley. Remember, every heart has a story, and every story has a heart. See you next week.